Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
My name is Stan, and I'm from Stan Rutherford Pianos Reimagined, and cannot believe it, but I am on Upcycle Canada.
Yes, welcome, awesome. Stan.
Yes.
And I love the background. And as we talked earlier, on cue, the dogs start to bark, which is great. But Stan, look at the background. That's for those beautiful. Who can't see, yep. Behind you is just gorgeous pianos. And we are just so happy to have you on the podcast today, Stan. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
And you've gone through and listened to our podcast again. Thank you.
Yes, that's so
That is so great. That is so great. So we're talking to Stan Rutherford, Pianos Reimagined. And Stan, where are you in the world?
I am in Glenpool, Oklahoma, which is just south of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow. Excellent. Well, we're up here. Our snow just disappeared today. So we're in Canada, up here by Buffalo, New York. And we're happy to have you on the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much.
Part of the Upcycle Canada family. It's great. It's really, really great. Yeah. So we're looking forward
it's exciting.
To this.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So Stan, let's go back in time a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about where you've come from. You retired from your career, and now you have a new career, which is probably a little bit more backbreaking than what you did before, moving pianos. But tell us a little bit about where you came from and a little backstory.
Well, grew up in Oklahoma, born and raised in Oklahoma, and I've been a pilot since 1978, and I flew for the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. I was a state trooper for 20 years, and then I retired from that job and took another flying job with a company in Kansas City, flying one of their turboprops and then one of their private jets, flying all over the country. And just recently retired, took early retirement in 2019. We had been living in Missouri and moved back to Oklahoma. And I found out that when I retired, I really had a lot of time on my hands. And, 2019, I did some odd construction jobs and different things like that, some remodeling. And, my dad, he taught me whenever I was a little kid, he said, if you can read a ruler, you can build anything you want. And it's turned out to be true. He also told me always measure twice and cut once. And that has been the number one rule. And I've broken that a few times, so and had to pay for it. But I really started this by accident. Doing one of the construction jobs, I was remodeling a house for a friend of mine. And in this house, she had a 1905 Milton Baby Grand piano sitting in one of her rooms. And it was in terrible shape. I mean, it was all scratched up. And she told me it won't hold a tune. I mean, when the pianos get to be in excess of 100 years old, that's going to be a pretty common thing with them. I mean, they're just wore out. They've seen such a life, and it's a shame that a lot of people discard these pianos and throw them in the dump. And she asked me if I would just take this piano and get it out of her house for her. And I was sure, yeah, I can move that for you. It's not a problem. And then she kind of started tearing up a little bit. And she started telling me the story behind this piano. This had been in her family for over 60 years, and who knows where they got it from. But her mother had given countless piano lessons on it to little kids. And her dad was a gospel songwriter. And they were a singing family anyway. And he had had a couple of songs published that he had written on that piano. And so there was a lot of sentimental value to that. And I knew that. And rather than just tearing it apart and scavenging the parts out of it, I had the idea to make something out of it that I could give back to her so that she could keep it in her family, that wouldn't take up a lot of space, and that it would still be a part of her family for generations to come. So what I did with it, first thing, I gutted it out. I took the soundboard and the harp out of it, the heaviest piece of it, and I turned it up on its side and made it into a bookcase. And she had always wanted a black piano, a glossy black piano. And this piano was anything but glossy when I got it. It had been attempted to have it repainted, and it was in bad shape. So once I finished this piano, I put 10 coats of black lacquer on it, and just beautiful, just shiny. And I had her come over to the house to look at it, and she teared up. And I had made a piece of the sheet music that was her dad's. We put it in a frame and we put it on top of the piano for her to see when she came and see it. And she just fell in love with it. She loved it. And so we moved it back to her house, set it up against the wall. Beautiful piece in her house now. And that's kind of how all of this got started. word of mouth, after people seeing what I had done with this piano, I started getting phone calls and say, hey, I've got a spinet that we do not want anymore. Would you have anything that you could do with that? Sure, I'll come get it. And so I would either make it into a piece of furniture, or I would take the keys, make them into different items, kind of like what you see behind me here, the key holders, pencil holders, artificial flower arrangements, any number of different things that you can make from the piano keys, rather than having them just totally discarded, repurpose them, upcycle them, turn them into something that can stay in the family and be cherished for years to come. And that's kind of how I got started in this whole situation.
It's beautiful work, Stan. Like, I've been going through your photos. Like, I'm just on your Facebook group page right now and stuff. The latest post, I'm seeing a ton of pictures of pianos, a lot of pianos. So I anticipate you've gone from taking one or two pianos to having many pianos offered to you now?
Yeah, I started out storing them in my garage, just a two-car garage, and that's where I did all my work at. And you'd be amazed at how quick a garage will fill up. And so after that, I needed some more space. So I went and got a 10 by 15 storage unit to store the pianos that I had in waiting that I was going to repurpose. And I mean, within just a month or two, I turned around and I've got 30 pianos in one storage unit already. And so I had a friend that was moving out of a storage unit, and I said, hey, would you mind if I kept your storage unit? So I had two 10 by 15s and filled those up. Well, that, you know, I had to keep a lot of these pianos moving, either tearing them apart, rebuilding them into bookcases, furniture items, what have you, just to keep my space open to where that I could get more pianos. It got to where that I was getting phone calls, you know, two or three phone calls a week saying, I've got a piano. Would you mind coming and looking at it and see if you want it? And everybody that has given me a piano, because the thing about it is I very, very seldom ever have to pay for a piano. You know, back in the mid 1800s to turn of the century, this was the major form of entertainment in the United States and around the world. everybody had a piano that could afford a piano. You know, back then, a grand piano would sell for $500-$600, and that was an astronomical amount of money back at the turn of the century. And so there were thousands upon thousands, I would estimate over hundreds of thousands, that were made. And, you know, they made some pretty quality stuff back then. It was solid. It was good wood. And it's sad that people don't realize the workmanship and the labor that went into making these pianos by hand. You know, and you see some of the pictures of the factories back around the turn of the century. No air conditioning. Very seldom did they have heat, unless it was a potbelly stove or something, you know. But making all these pianos by hand, and the history that's involved in that. And so, like I was saying before, I very seldom ever have to pay for any of these pianos because people are just wanting to get rid of them. They've had them in their family for a long time. They get to the point where they're buying a new house, they're moving, and they don't want to move that for the 15th time, yeah. You know? And so they call me, and I'm glad to take them. But I make them aware that when I go pick up their piano, it needs to be a piano that is on its last legs. I don't want to take a perfectly good instrument and tear it apart where it could, maybe all it needed was a good tuning or something like that. Most of the pianos that I get, like I said, are going to be 100 years old or better. And they've had a good long life. They've played hundreds and thousands of songs on them. They have had people gathered around at Christmas time, mm-hmm.
yep.
listening to the Christmas carols and playing. And the history that is behind all of those pianos, it needs to be captured somehow. I mean, you can't just throw it away. It's a lot of times a piano, like an old upright, it's been in a family for generations, and it's part of the family, you know? And so I try to preserve that for people that want to have that. Other people, they don't care. They just want it out of their house, or if you don't take it, I'm going to take it to the dump. And so that's kind of what I do with a lot of my stuff. But I have found that not all pianos are free. Because I got a call from a lady. I found her on Marketplace through Facebook, and she had a 1921 Packard baby grand piano, and she wanted to know if I wanted it. And so I told her yes, and I had to drive 100 miles to get to it. And looking at the pictures, something just didn't seem right. And I looked at the pictures, and the closer I got to my destination, I called her back and I said, would this by any chance be on an upstairs balcony? And she said, yes. And I said, oh my goodness, I really don't want it. And she begged me, please, 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 to take this piano, because she was moving. They had to be out of the house, and she only had a certain time period. And so that piano wound up costing me $300 to move from upstairs to downstairs. And then they loaded it in my trailer for me, which was a good thing. So, but like I said, not everything is free, but that one I turned into a bookcase, and it came out beautifully. So I made my money back on it. Yeah.
Excellent. So Stan, you're selling your products at like vendor events and things like that. Is that mostly where you're selling your products to new customers?
Yes. Yeah. I've been doing this for going on 2 years now, just right when the pandemic started. I got into it, and my first 6 months I spent building product, making the key holders and different things out of the keys. And got into several craft events and was very, very well received, because it was a unique item that people would come up to me and they'd say, I've never seen anything like this. Where did you get the idea to do that? You know, and I thought, well, you really learn a lot about a piano when you tear it apart. And you've got all these pieces left over and you've got to do something with them. And so we had signed up for several craft fairs and very, very well received. And this year we're already getting invitations to a lot of the different shows and stuff like that. And most of my furniture builds that I've had have come from word of mouth. You know, you build one for one person and they tell other people. And then now this person wants one and this person wants one. And so the thing about doing a furniture project like that is that it takes about a month from start to finish to do a bookcase. You know, you got to face the facts that when I get a piano, it's super heavy. It's, you know, a grand piano can weigh close to 1,000 pounds. And I've got 8 of them sitting in my storage facility right now. We just unloaded some full size grands the other day that were, oh boy, they were pushing 800 or 900 pounds. But the thing that I have to do is once I start stripping a piano down, it's not an overnight process. It takes quite a while to get things done. I've had a lot of people that have seen my work and they tell me that they want to keep the harp and the strings and everything attached. And how do I do that? I said, well, unfortunately, unless you want to just destroy the piano, there is no way to get that harp out of that piano without taking all 244 pins out of that pin block. And it's a time consuming job. And that kind of discourages a lot of people, but I put a lot of time and effort into my work. And it's rewarding to see the look on people's faces when I get it done, when I get it finished.
I am curious because you've got all these pianos. Do anyone, like, are a lot of them just basically, here's my piano, you know, do what you want with it? Or do you have a lot of customers that have that story, like your first one where you make it almost custom and hand them back a piece of it?
That is the only one that I've actually given back free of charge. She was a friend, and the connection between that, I just didn't have the heart to charge her for it. Yeah. You know, other people are not quite so lucky. They have the piano that they just don't want anymore. There have been a few that, for example, I have one that I just completed a couple of months ago. It was a 1916. What was that? It was a 1916 Howard that had been in this lady's family since it was brand new. And she loved the piano. She didn't want to get rid of it, but it just wasn't playable anymore. She had a digital piano, as most people will do, because they're easy to play. They sound good, and you can pick it up and carry it under your arm. And so she wanted to keep it, and so I made it into it was an upright, and I kept it as the upright, just took the keyboard out and the action out, made shelves and everything in it, put lighting behind it, and made mementos and keepsakes out of the keys and the hammers. And she gave all of those to her children for Christmas presents. And now it's sitting back in her house, just totally reimagined from the piano that was gathering dust to now a showpiece in her home that has got all kinds of neat knickknacks and stuff on it. So, but for the most part, people that give me pianos, they don't really want them back. They want them gone. And that's, I like to see the people that want to keep the piano once I finish it. And I've had several, but for the most part, people just want to see them out of their house. And I do have a friend that he owns the local landfill. And I met him through a person that I had sold a bunch of key holders to. He bought 25 of these key holders for all of his family members. And one of the family members happened to be the owner of the landfill and got my phone number. And there for a while, I was getting a phone call about once, twice a month saying, hey, somebody just dumped a piano out here. You want to come and take a look at it? And you'd be amazed. I have really got some beautiful pianos from the dump and saved them from being buried for eternity, you know, and turn them into neat keepsakes. So that's kind of my passion. That's kind of why I do this, mainly because I love the history behind them. And to kind of put that in perspective, you take a piano that was manufactured in 1900, and you have to think that was before the airplane was invented. That was before the Titanic made its voyage. That was before World War One.
Yeah.
The history involved in that, just touching it and feeling it and turning it back into something that can be kept for another 100 years, yeah, it really gives you a good feeling.
Yeah, I bet. That's amazing.
So, Stan, do you know how to play the piano?
I do.
Oh, good.
I play just enough to say that I know how to play the piano. I actually took piano lessons when I was 10 years old and took them for 3 years and just hated it because I had other things that I wanted to be doing. And, you know, I wanted to play rock and roll, and my mom wanted me to play church songs. And we conflicted there, and I play what I want to play now, and very, very little. So
when you were taking piano lessons, were you sitting there going, hey, I could turn this into a shelf?
You know, I never thought about that. No. I always thought, wonder what's behind this, and how does that work?
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. Yeah, so we have a vendor in our store. Her name is Nick. And she does, her company name is Do Re Mi, and she takes stringed instruments, including piano strings, and makes jewelry out of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's such a cool passion of hers to go guitar strings, violin strings, piano strings, and she'll make things out of them, which is just gorgeous.
I've seen that. I've seen that before. Yeah. That's pretty cool stuff.
So it's interesting to hear somebody who's also doing something with musical instruments. Mm-hmm. We have another couple. And they call themselves Funky Upbeats Designs, and they take drums and guitars, and they turn them into other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, we could start a band.
That's what I'm thinking, Stan. Right. Now, what would we call that? Oh, boy.
I don't know. Upcycled band or something?
The Upcyclers, yeah.
So you're going to have to play piano, Stan. I'm sorry. And you have to bring your own.
Well, actually, I've got 5 of them in my house right now. But I'm sitting right in front of one, but it's a pump organ. And just can't reach the pedals. So.
Uh-huh. Stan, looking at your Facebook page while we're chatting, I saw a video of you restoring a player piano. And there's like a glass base and you can see everything working. Can you tell us a little bit about that piano?
Let me tell you the story behind that piano first. I was at a craft show, and through a friend of a friend, she found out what I do with pianos, and she came up and talked to me and said, I need your help because my dad was a collector of player pianos. He was a very well-known piano tuner, and he passed away about 3 years ago, and she inherited all of his collection of old player pianos. And she said, could you take these for me and do something with them? She said, I don't care what you do with them. A lot of them don't play. Some of them do. And would you be interested in it? And she says, now I've got a bunch. And I said, how many is a bunch? And she says, I've got 47 player pianos. And I knew that I had 2 10 by 15 storage units that were on.
So Stan, that's the moment right there where I have to call the head office before I say yes or no. I have to call home and say, hey, listen.
Can I bring home
I got these. That's when I have to check in with that office. Well, does that happen with you at all? You have
to I did check in with that office and I said, okay, you're never going to believe what I got.
So, I love it. Okay, sorry. Sorry, it's a great moment. That's great.
Anyway, I told her, yeah, I'll do what I can, but I'm out of space. And so finally I did some searching around and now I have a 14 by 50 storage unit that is 20 feet high and 14 feet wide and 50 foot long. And so I'm trying to figure out how to stack them on top of each other without getting killed. I told her, yeah, I'd help you. And so I went and found out that a lot of these pianos were in such disrepair. You could just touch them and they would disintegrate on the inside, the player mechanisms and stuff like that. But there was this one and it was a 1912. It's called a Cremona. It's a coin operated player piano and it has three panes of stained glass across the front of it and two brass lamps on the front of it. And down below it's electrified. And it's all lit and it has a glass case. And so I fell in love with that one. I loaded that up. I got it home and, I started tinkering with it and couldn't get it to work and found out that the switch was broke. I put a new switch on it, put some new lights in it, and I flipped the switch and the roll was already in it and it started playing Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. And I mean, it was beautiful right off the bat. And so that one is sitting in my living room right now. But, you know, I had that appraised because I was just out of curiosity. And the first appraisal that I got back on it was restored like that is right now and in playable condition like that is right now. Mm-hmm. That goes for $30,000.
Oh.
And I thought that can't be right. So I'm going to call another appraiser. I did, and they said the way that thing is right now, that will go between $15,000 and $20,000. And I thought, wow, I've got a hold of a good deal here. Yeah. And so it's still sitting in my living room because the market for player pianos up around where you guys are, up around New York and Pennsylvania, they're giving them away because nobody wants them anymore. They're a big, huge, heavy piece of equipment that nobody just wants to take the time to restore. And fortunately for me, this was in really pretty good shape. And if you've seen the video on it, you heard how it plays. It's so cool to watch this thing operate. The technology for 1912 is just unbelievable. How they can take all these little levers and stuff, play that song. And I really do love that type of stuff.
That's amazing. What a great story, Stan. Like, I anticipate as you're posting pictures on Facebook, I saw you have an Instagram account now, and as you're reaching out to the community, it's just going to open even more doors for people to contact you and reach out and offer these pianos up. Are you still doing all of this by yourself right now?
Me and my favorite fan, my wife, she has helped me move a lot of the pianos, but I have a lot of good equipment as well because I had a friend that was a piano tuner back when I was in high school, and I worked for him, and he taught me a lot of tricks of the trade on how to move these pianos. And so basically what I do is I lift one end of the piano up and my biggest fan over here, she just slides the dolly under and then away we go. And but for the most part, yeah, it's just me. And then when we're making the products, I can always count on her to apply the varnish and different things like that. And because we work together, you know, it's not an I thing. It's a me and please help me deal. because I am the only one doing all the heavy work. And it is a full-time job, I guarantee you.
Yeah. It's amazing. I just love your work, Stan. And I just, as we're talking, I just keep scrolling through the photos. And so tell me about the is it, you call it wings, like a piano wing, the keys behind you up on the wall?
Yeah, yeah. Those, you know, scrolling through Pinterest one day, I saw that somebody had made something like that. And so I don't ever want to recreate something exactly the way somebody else has already done it. So I made my own version of it. And I took a, these are from a 1927 piano that was in really bad shape, and took all 88 keys out of it and formed them in the shape of an eagle's wing. And then, attached LED lighting behind it, with a remote control. This is my second set that I've built. I sold the other one at a craft show. And I have a feeling that this one will probably go pretty quick as well. And it usually takes me about a week to build one. But there again, it takes all 88 keys of the piano. So, you know, you got to have a lot of pianos in waiting, ready to have that made. But yeah, it's a creative and interesting piece. A lot of musicians love that kind of stuff, you know, to hang on their wall in their music rooms. And they're fun to look at. They're fun to, you know, the funny thing about it is the first time a little kid sees that, the first thing they've got to do is touch it to see if it plays. You know, none of my stuff plays anymore. You know, the spirit's still there, but the song is gone. Yeah.
Where do you go from here, Stan? Like 2 years into this, you've built up a customer base. You've done some amazing products. Do you have a plan for the future for your business?
My biggest plan right now is to keep one of them from falling over on me and killing me.
Yeah.
you know, I'm 65 years old, and I figure I've got at least 10 more years in this deal. And I've kind of got into a business that I can't get out of. I've got all of these pianos in this storage unit, and I tell my kids that I'm working on their inheritance. So whether they know it or not, they may be getting a lot of pianos when I can't do it anymore. But my plan right now is just to have fun. My plan right now is to see the smiles on people's faces of what can be done with these old pianos and keeping that history alive. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that's for everybody. You know, people are amazed when they figure out that it takes a month to build one of these. And that's a lot of time. And I really can't ever recoup the amount of time versus money that goes into one of these. I make a pretty good amount off of each one. Yeah, that's, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't trying to make a fair living off of it, but that's not the point behind it. The point is that I'm preserving that piece of history. I'm preserving that family heritage. I'm preserving that piece of furniture that's been in somebody's home for generations that they still get to have, just in a different form. And so that's kind of my plan going forward, is just to keep doing what I'm doing, enjoy doing it as long as I can. And with your help through Upcycle Canada and the 32 countries that your podcast goes to, that somebody will say, hey, I'd like to have one of those. And maybe this time next year, I can hire a helper to help me tear some of these things apart. But yeah, it's mainly just keeping all these pieces of history out of the dump, keeping the memories alive, keeping the not necessarily the song of the piano anymore, but the spirit of the piano is still there, and it can still be preserved. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just having fun with it. You know, when I started this, I wanted to have something to do in my retirement, because you know, I didn't want to drive for ride shares anymore. And I started doing that, and that went downhill pretty quick. So this was an avenue that I found out that I was really good at. And if I can help somebody down the road, you know, make them happy, then that's great. That's kind of what I'm in it for. And when you guys contacted me and said that you'd been following my work, I thought, wow, I've got a fan base now in Canada, of all places.
That's right.
You know, and so that really makes me feel good. And my wife, she kind of gets frustrated at me a few times because on a couple of the Facebook pages that I'm on, I found out real quick, depending on what Facebook group you post a lot of your stuff to, will either make you or break you. I started out posting some of my stuff on enthusiasts websites and pages that were restorers, not repurposers. Yeah, okay, yeah, boy, when they see that you have torn that piano apart, they'll crucify you. They're brutal with their comments. And I thought, well, this is not the place that I want to be posting my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found upcycle and repurposing fan pages. And one night after I posted a picture of one of my creations that I made, you know, within 2 days, I had over 2,000 likes and comments on it. And I thought, wow, I can't believe that many people are interested in this. And then you guys got a hold of me and said that you are fans of my work. And I thought, wow, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is going to take off and I can hire that new guy after all. You know, one of these.
There you go.
But it's been a fun journey.
That's what I like, Stan, about what you're doing is as much as people might not appreciate you taking apart a piano that's so old, you are really the last best hope for that piano to continue in some form rather than just throwing it and burying it under the ground.
Right.
You are the last best hope. So I have my money on Stan as far as saving something and keeping it out of the landfill. And that's exactly what we're all about. And to meet other great makers like yourself, it just helps expand our table as far as what upcycling and repurposing is really all about, right?
Exactly.
There's more people out there doing this. And I'm glad you found a spot on Facebook, for example, that celebrates your work, because there is a lot to celebrate here, Stan. It's gorgeous. And you're such a gentle heart. You know, you just want to do something for people, and it shows in your work. It shows in you on the podcast with us. You just radiate this nice guy that I want you to be my neighbor, Stan. I will help you with pianos. I'll drive down there. I just want to encourage you, Stan. You're doing something that's amazing, and you're to be able to have time with you today is encouraging for us. We're so pleased that you have time for us to do this tonight.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. And I understand that from a previous conversation that we had, that you actually did a little bit of piano repurposing, or as an organ, I believe it was.
It was an organ family members gave us. They had already taken it apart, which is maybe something you could ask your people to do for you.
Yeah.
But they brought us the organ already assembled. And we turned it into some Christmas presents for them. And there was interesting because one of the pieces had a scratch on the side, and that was one of the children did that when they were little. They're adults now, and that scratch meant something. And so we kept that scratch. We didn't fix it. We didn't change it, but we kept it as a centerpiece, right, to the piece that they got back, so that the person who made the scratch got it back in a new form. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, there's the scratch. Remember the scratch when you were little? There it is.
Never lived that one down.
It's kind of neat.
I kind of wish my pianos came in a kit form that were already disassembled, and all I had to do was put them back together. But it didn't work that way.
That's right.
So even the foot pedals, right. We turn them into bottle openers with a hidden magnet behind, so the cap would come off the bottle opener and slide down and get caught on the foot pedal.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful things like that, right? So it's just all about, and when they brought us the items too, they didn't have a game plan. They just said, here's the stuff. We need 10 presents. Right. Have at it. We're like, well, what are we going to make with this, right? So it's great when people recognize and want to bring things to you and have you do something with them. And the custom stuff you've done, Stan, for people, I know you mentioned one too on your pages, something about a wife had lost her husband and you did something special with his piano.
Right.
You are capturing memories for people and letting them live on in a unique way that's going to mean something for a long time.
Yeah, that one that you're talking about was my niece. Her and her husband had been married for 15 years, and he had developed a brain tumor. And he was a very, very talented musician. He could play just about any instrument. But he'd composed several songs on a piano that she had there in the house, and had written songs about her on this piano. And whenever he passed away, about a year had gone by after he had passed away, and she was downsizing and moving to a smaller home and just couldn't take the piano with her, and wanted to know if I wanted it. And I said, well, you understand what I do with these pianos, right? And she goes, oh yeah, that's why I want you to do this. Do something that would honor his memory with it. And so, took, I think it was 3 octaves of the keys, turned them into a shelf. I used the key lid, and made it into the top shelf. And it was a design specifically for a place to put his urn, and so that she could have that in her house on his piano, on the keys that he played, and keep that forever, you know. And that really touched my heart. It touched her heart, touched a lot of people's hearts. And that's reward in itself right there, of being able to take a piano and turn it back into something and give it back to them. And repurpose it. You know, it's all about upcycling, repurposing, but doing it with heart, you know, and trying to do the best for other people rather than, you know, I'd love to make thousands of dollars. I'd love to make lots of money. And I do make a pretty good amount of money off of these that I sell. But that, like I said, that's not the whole point. The point for me is the history, the love, and the sentimental value of these pianos that people give to me. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but this one directly behind me, that is a player piano that had been destroyed on the inside. And I'd always wanted an aquarium. And so I put a 30-gallon aquarium in that. And it's stained glass on both sides. It's got really beautiful griffins, little gargoyle-looking legs to it. And that one sold within 2 days after I had completed it. And the bad thing about it is the person that bought it, their house is not going to be finished. They bought a brand new home, and it won't be finished until October. So I get to keep it until October. Yeah. So, wow.
That's gorgeous.
This other one that I have over here is an 1895 Bristol pump organ that a lady gave to me. And it was in really pretty bad shape. And when I restored it, it didn't play anymore. The interior was just, 1895. It was pretty well shot. So I turned it into a wine bar and modified it a little bit, put stained glass in it, lighted it from behind, and it just came out beautiful. And still waiting to sell that one. So if you know anybody, wine bar, keep me in mind. Yeah, look me up. Stan Rutherford Pianos, Reimagined.
Cool. Awesome. So yeah, let's do that, Stan. What is the best way for people to be in touch with you so that they can A, follow your journey? Because there's so much to, like I said, you're going to see a lot of great stuff when you follow Stan. But how they can follow you and see what you're up to. But if there's people that are interested and they want to buy something from you, what's the best way for people to be in touch?
Well, I'm on Facebook mainly. I do have Instagram as well. But on Facebook, it's Stan Rutherford Pianos Reimagined. And just get on there and follow me. And if you find something that you want to have made, if you have a piano that you want to have turned around and as you know, that you want to keep in your family, just private message me and I'd be glad to work with you one-on-one on that. Instagram, it's Stan Rutherford Pianos. And, you know, Facebook has been my biggest go-to. It's easy for me. Like I said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it was really hard for me to learn Facebook when it first came out. But that's where I do most of my business at, is on Facebook. It's been very rewarding. A lot of people have seen my work. A lot of people have commented on it, and very, very, very few, depending on which Facebook group page you're on, have said anything negative towards it. So, yeah, I'm hoping that by doing this podcast and getting my name out there, you know, when I started doing this, I wanted to use my name as a brand rather than calling it something else. I wanted to, for posterity's sake, they'll say, oh, that's a Stan Rutherford original or something like that, you know. But that's far-fetched, I know, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Well, I can see that the pilot has now turned on the fasten seatbelt light here in the cabin. Right. So we're going to be landing this podcast here in a moment. Anything you want to say from our pilot friend Stan here to the audience? Just an encouragement about upcycling, repurposing, making a change, making a difference. Can anybody make a difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's your advice?
If you have a dream to do something, you got to start somewhere and you got to just take that chance and go do it. For all of my pilot friends out there, my best advice for you are takeoffs are optional, landings are mandatory.
Yes.
That's
I do have yeah. one other, I do it. Have one other thing that I wanted to show you here. And this is called a fork. It is made from the, yeah, you probably have to describe this, but
yes,
what okay. this is, it's a little bird. Looks like a yeah, spark. Yeah, but it's the hammer. Yeah. It's the hammer off of the action.
Okay. Oh.
Without the felt on it. And then this piece is the tail. This is the stem, the hammer butt, and then a piece of the tiger oak off of the sidewalls of the piano. So there's no limit to the imagination that what you can do and make with really cool stuff to sell from a piano. Yeah.
So Stan, how long does it take to make one of those?
Oh, probably 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, gee.
I've got they're, many, many
they're
of them.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I bet. Right.
What were they called again?
Thork.
A thork. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Don't ask me why, because I don't know. We just yeah. said, that's my wife stuck. And I said, that's a thork. Okay.
Yeah, that's a thork. Yeah, there you go.
Looks
yeah,
like a thork. Right.
Well, when head office says it's a thork, it's a thork. It's a thork.
Yeah. That's exactly.
That's right. Yeah. Excellent. Stan, thank you so much for your time tonight. I know you could be out in the garage working on pianos, but you took time for us. So thank you for that. And like you showed us earlier, a nice thing that you had made for us, which we're blown away and thankful and grateful that you would even think to do that. So thank you for that. We're going to be following Stan. We're going to be watching. We're going to be commenting and liking and sharing. And we hope that as the podcast comes out and as YouTube or the version comes out on YouTube, the people are going to see the beautiful background behind right. you, see your handiwork in person. Yeah. We're up to 42 countries wow. now, Stan. 42. We have people in Dubai, Israel, Egypt listening to your voice today. So I don't know where the next call is coming from, Stan. I don't know if you deliver to Dubai, but if you live in Dubai and you need Stan's piano stuff in your, we make this happen.
I've got stuff in Germany, and I'll soon have stuff in Canada. The rest of it's in the U.S.
Perfect.
Proudly displayed in Canada. Absolutely. And if you come by the store, we will definitely show you this piece. It is not for sale.
No.
I'll tell you that off the bat, because it's made, and it's a Stan Rutherford original.
That's right.
Made by the man himself.
Thank you. And I appreciate you guys inviting me to be on your podcast. This is my first podcast, and I had such a great time. It's been a blast.
Wonderful. It's not going to be your last one, Stan.
Good. No. I hope so.
It's great. We're great. We're so grateful. Thank you for your time, Stan. We're going to let you go tonight because you got lots of work.
There you go. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, Stan.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life, dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aww. It's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.